Associated Bodywork and Massage Professionals, ABMP, is proud to sponsor the interdisciplinary podcast from HealWell. Massage therapists and body workers who choose ABMP membership get much more than comprehensive liability insurance to protect from lawsuits, including our members-only Pocket Pathology and 5-Minute Muscles apps. Putting muscle-specific technique videos and helpful information at your fingertips, 5-Minute Muscles has been updated with more than 80 cadaver dissection videos from Dr. Joe Muscolino to provide an even more in-depth understanding. Join ABMP to see for yourself why our members expect more and get more from their association.
Welcome to Season 11 of Interdisciplinary. I am Corey Rivera here with my co-host Laura Bryant-Erner. It's a special day, and we're discussing the sustainability of massage. But before we do that, please don't forget about our live in-person oncology massage classes. We'll be in Oak Park, August 11th through 13th. That's in Illinois and Chicagoland. And in Fairfax, Virginia, September 22nd through the 24th. You can sign up at online.healwell.org. This season is sponsored by the wonderful people at ABMP. And now the moment you've been waiting for, the pun. Y'all ready? Here we go. Never upset a pediatric nurse. They have very little patience.
Ba-dum-ching!
There it is. There it is. I'm very proud of that one. As though I wrote it myself, which I did not, but that's okay.
So I have to say that when you were saying, when you said that, here's the moment you're waiting for, I was like, yes, we get to talk to our next guest. And then we had to do a pun. So
I'm contractually obligated. I'm sorry. But we do have a special guest. Part of our journey into sustainability is to speak to other massage professionals about their experiences. And you'll find that many have common threads, but all are unique. So today's special guest, would you introduce yourself?
I'm waiting for the special guest. Where are they?
They'll be here in about 5 minutes, but if you want to go first, then that would be great.
Thanks. Good morning. My name is Ken Brown. I am a massage therapist working for HealWell currently, mostly covering a couple of different Life with Cancer programs in Northern Virginia. So that's the short version, I guess.
And providing massage in the infusion centers.
So Ken, this is the first time I have met you. I think I'm the only one who hasn't met you, and I'm excited because I've heard a lot about you. So now that you have those expectations put upon you, my first question for you is, why massage?
A few different reasons. Say I can give the long version that I give people, or we can go with the slightly shorter elevator speech, but okay.
Much shaking of heads.
Fine. In my misspent youth-ish, in the groups that I was in, I was the kind of the back rub guy. I may or may not have done that in the misplaced hopes that, you know, it would do me well with dating, which it did not. So, but that is life. But it did start a kind of an interest in massage. At one point I looked into becoming a massage therapist. At that particular time, I was gainfully employed with a 40-hour Monday through Friday job. And when I looked into becoming a massage therapist, there were three massage schools in the Northern Virginia area. One was in DC, one was in Baltimore, and one was in Charlottesville. Since I was living out near Dulles Airport at the time, there was no way that I could consistently get to Georgetown in DC three nights a week by 6:30. So I just kind of put massage on a back burner. and didn't think about it for a while. Then I was, at that time, I was working as doing accounts payables for a telecommunications company. And I was, my particular job was paying phone bills for all of the lines that we had. As one can imagine, spending 8 hours a day paying phone bills, not that exciting. Also a job where if you do it well, no one cares. If you mess up, oddly enough, everyone cares and you hear about it. So at one point, management was getting a little bit odd. And I was thinking, I probably don't want to stay with these people long term. So I said, well, what could I do? And I looked around at a few options. I looked at possibly becoming a physical therapist and said, which is when I learned that, hey, PT programs are, the short ones are master's degree programs, and the long ones are doctorate programs that generally you start when you go into college.
Sure do.
And I said, well, I guess since I was right around 40-ish at the time, I said, I don't think I want to go back to school for 8 to 12 years at this point, which also, you know, put an end to any ideas of becoming a forensic pathologist or anything else in the high-end medical field. Not that massage therapy isn't very helpful, but it does not require the same length of training. So I looked into massage therapy again. And at that point, there were 5 massage schools in Northern Virginia proper. And I said, well, since there is now a school within half an hour of me, I can do this. So I went back to school. I enrolled. The program ran for about 11 months. It was a part-time program, which means that you are there part-time most days. So for the 11 months, I was at the school between 5 and 7 days a week for some amount of time. By the end of that year, the management had kind of turned around. It was back to being, you know, normal management type and not hostile. I said, oh, well, I'm kind of risk averse and perhaps a touch lazy, so I'll just hang out here for a while longer. About 4 months after I graduated, word leaked out that the company was going to be outsourcing all of their accounting positions or their finance positions overseas. So I stuck around with them for a few more months in order to get my severance. And then I, when that wrapped up, I said, okay, well, let's look into this massage thing. I had not followed through with all of the paperwork at the end of massage school. And so when I went to take tests and get a license with the state, everybody was like, oh, we have no record of that. So I had to go back to my school and have them resubmit all of the paperwork because it had taken me more than, I guess, 6 months or whatever the odd deadline they had assigned to it. So they had apparently purged all of the paperwork that had originally been submitted. So I got everything resubmitted and then eventually moved over into massage as my primary source of income. So I guess that's the longish version. Then there's more story of how I ended up at Healwell, but that's perhaps a secondary question that you will eventually ask.
Well, I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm curious now about, so how long have you been in massage as a full-time job? Or a full-time profession?
I'd have to actually look up when I finish school, but it's bordering on 15 years now.
So
as my primary source of income.
Okay. I'm just hoping that, you know, you're not hanging around with us just because it's, you know, the path of least resistance.
No, not, I mean, I wouldn't say complete. I mean, massage is very fulfilling. I mean, I love working with people, you know, but I also recognize that, you know, there are other things that I probably could do. And I have thought occasionally about, well, what's the next chapter? But, you know, I am slow to make decisions. And as always, it's like, oh, well, I could do this, or I could do this, or I could do this, because I'm not really tied down to anything. And I haven't figured out which of the this's would be best, that I would be best able to do and supplement around remaining a massage therapist.
So for the listeners who maybe are not familiar with the Life with Cancer infusion and table programs, let me just throw that piece of information out. So the work that Ken does, and Ken, please feel free to speak more about this, but you know, the Ken is working at the Fair Oaks Infusion Center through Inova hospitals, and he is there twice a week providing massage for care partners and patients receiving infusions at Fair Oaks, and then also providing table massages through the Life with Cancer free massage program for Inova patients. And you've been doing the free table massage program for about 3 years. How long have you been doing the infusion program, Ken?
My best estimate is now about 5 years. The medical spa that I worked at prior to working with HealWell had been already working with Life with Cancer, and so I was working in the infusion, the Fair Oaks infusion suite, and doing some work at Loudoun Hospital in infusion and Radonc radiation oncology. So I was already working with some Life with Cancer programs through the medical spa that I was with prior to HealWell. And the medical spa closed down and HealWell contacted me. And so a couple months after I finished, after my work with the spa wrapped up, I was back on the same programs, back in the same infusion suites, seeing many of the same nurses and patients that I had been prior to coming over and beginning my time working with HealWell.
I remember the meeting that we had with the administrator at Fair Oaks, and she had pulled out the feedback sheet from your previous incarnation in the infusion program, and it was pages of accolades for Ken's working with the patients. So what drew you to quote unquote Air Bunny's oncology massage? Where did you do that training, and how did you get into this field?
So my previous employer was a medical spa that was attached to a medical practice. The owner of the medical practice was very much interested in complementary medicines, had a very broad spectrum of services available through her program. So she had opened the medical spa where we had a massage therapy team and a team of master estheticians. We had a nurse who is doing, or sorry, a I think she's a she's actually a PA who is doing injectables. The practice also had naturopathic doctors and acupuncturists and nutritionists, and so a wide variety of complementary medicines that were associated with in order to kind of back up and provide some other options to traditional Western medicine. So to a large extent, we were a medical spa because of the work done by the estheticians. In most locations, to the best of my understanding, medical spas get that designation because they're overseen by a doctor at some level or another licensed medical professional who takes responsibility. But to a large extent, it was because the estheticians that we did with their supervision had access to more invasive or more aggressive forms of aesthetic treatment. So laser services and stronger peels, dermaplaning work, things like that, that might break the skin for a positive result. But so the estheticians were kind of what really had us up at a medical level, if you were. So the people running the massage team at the time said, were looking around saying, well, what can we do to up the game of the massage team, to bring the massage team more in line with a medical spa and give them a little more cachet, a little more, you know, a little more focus. So we looked around at several things, and yeah, sad to say, but medical massage as a thing is a little unregulated and a little slapdash, if you will, where there are several programs that offer training in quote medical massage, but those different programs, some of them I'm certain are very good, but there is no national or federal oversight to it. So anyone could kind of create this program and say, oh, well, what I'm doing is medical massage. So we looked at other options, and the leaders of the massage team at the time had some passing familiarity with oncology massage and said, well, why don't we get all of our massage team trained for oncology massage, and that will be our thing. We had also looked at like post-surgical recovery, things like that, but if you're not directly associated with a surgeon, then you don't really get a lot of that kind of business coming your way. Same thing with sports rehab. If you're not directly connected to either a PT program or a chiropractor who does sports rehab, things like that, then it's kind of hard to get those as a walk-in basis, essentially. So we said, okay, well, let's get everybody trained with oncology massage. So we did a little bit of in-house training, and we looked around, we found some programs where we could go and get training outside. And I happened to find at the time it was an extended program, it was a 5-day program that was being run down at the, I'm forgetting the name, but down at the Casey Institute. Anyway, so went down there and went to the class, which oddly enough was taught by this person who is kind of really building a name for themselves in the oncology area, named Cal Cates. After I came to work for Healwell, and I mentioned to Cal that I had taken one of their classes 5-ish years ago, the initial response was, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say that, so that's good.
So I think that Cal has upped their game on their teaching, their understanding of oncology massage, but nonetheless, it was the start for me. So we came back. We got all of our massage therapists trained in oncology massage, which again was not, not having an oncologist on the medical staff made that a little bit of a difficult buy-in, trying to, put ourselves out there, since without the direct support of a program, oncology patients already have a lot going on, and trying to then say, oh, well, I want a massage that I'm paying out of pocket for and I have to schedule with everything else, just it was not the most feasible approach. Then one of the therapists working at the spa was diagnosed with a brain tumor and went into treatment herself. And a large part of that treatment ended up being through the RADONC department at Loudoun. And so when she completed her treatments, she very much wanted us to work to, in some way, kind of as a thank you to the people who had helped her. And so she really pushed us to get involved with the programs out at Loudoun. And I think that's when our first the first contact really for the medical spa is with, first started working with Life with Cancer. And so then we just kind of focus, you know, we did that as a side. When the spa closed down, and then I transitioned over to HealWell and just stuck with and have stayed with the Life with Cancer programs that are, you know, available and that I've had the privilege to support for a couple of years now.
I know you said you're sort of a leaf blowing in the wind kind of guy as far as your professional, or at least your current occupation. It sounds like you have a lot of ideas otherwise. But what's your favorite thing about being a massage therapist?
The thing that I like most about being a massage therapist is kind of the change from my previous profession. The previous profession, it didn't really matter if you did your job. Being a massage therapist and especially working with the oncology patients and in the infusion suites, if I'm doing a good job, then I know I have made a change and have improved that person's day right then, right there. And, you know, getting immediate positive feedback for what you're doing is very helpful and very encouraging to try to keep you motivated and give you the positive experiences of being a massage therapist.
And then the follow-up question, what's your least favorite thing?
Probably paperwork, but other than that, least favorite thing is I start to get a little older, a little more out of shape, and trying to keep up and the problem isn't staying within my limitations. It's when I don't stay within my limitations I need to, create better boundaries and adjust body mechanics to make sure that I'm not injuring myself and so that I am able to maintain in the profession and keep working.
I do feel like as we get older, there's less room for cheating, that kind of stuff. Like you can get away with so much more earlier. And then you're like, oh, that really hurt. I shouldn't have done that for 3 hours today.
To some extent. But that in some ways, one of my kind of big philosophical, if you will, views on massage therapy was always looking at kind of the drop-off points in massage. And, when I looked at that and kind of mentally thought about it, there seemed to be a big drop-off for massage professionals at about 3 years and another at 7 years. And from my time in massage, the completely non-scientific conclusions that I came to on that was that the 3 year drop was people who at the end of it at 3 years came to the conclusion that their income was not high enough, and that despite the fact that some massage schools, it's like, oh, well, you can work 40 hours a week. And if you're charging $100 massage and you're doing 40 hours, that's $4,000 a week.
How much money that is.
Exactly.
If it worked that way. Yeah.
Yes. But, very few massage therapists are doing 40 hours of hands-on work a week. Very few. Well, I can't say very few, but my belief was that that was about the time when a lot of people dropped out saying, I need to do something that earns me more money. The second dropout at about 7 years from talking to people appeared to be 7 years was where people who are not using good body mechanics, where their aches, pains, and personal injuries built up to the point where they felt they had to drop out because they could no longer provide massage due to repetitive stress injuries, you know, pain in the thumbs, the wrists, the elbows, and because it seemed very much like, you know, in looking at the online groups and things that, you know, after about 7 years, then people would push up into 10, 15, 20 years of experience. And it just seemed like there was this drop off. And so it seemed like the people who had worked longer had figured out either better body mechanics or had moved into particular modalities that put less stress on their body and allowed them to continue working for longer periods of time. So yes, I feel like I'm getting to the point where I need to reassess my body mechanics and just address how I am working so that I can continue to work.
So I know this is a question that people tend to use to close out a podcast. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows this is not, that's not what's happening right now.
Are you sure?
I am sure. I am very sure. But I'm curious, Ken, about, you know, with what you just said about the dropout rates and the lessons that you've learned. So turning that around and looking at, so if you were talking to somebody who was applying for massage school or going into massage school like next week, what would you say to them?
Well, to some extent, the same things that had happened when, or the advice that I got when I was looking to becoming a massage therapist, which was to kind of, before going into massage school, is to sit down and look at why you are interested in going into massage. Because, you know, at the time when I was in school, I think it was running at about 12,000 overall between tuition and supplies and things. So at this point, it's probably closer to 20. And it was just pointed out, for, you know, $15,000, you can get trained in a lot of different things. Is massage really where you want to spend that money? So it's kind of look at why you want to go into massage. And if you decide that massage is where you want to go, learn good body mechanics. Because that's how you have longevity. Because you can't help others if you are hurting yourself. And so you just need to, figure out how to do things, because yes, I can use a whole lot of grip strength, but then at the end of the day, I've heard other massage therapists who talk about, when I was in school, we do massage and then, I have to go home and soak my hands in an ice bath. And my thought was, well, if your hands hurt that badly while you're in school, then something wasn't quite right. Because, you shouldn't, what we do is very physical. We're not professional athletes who need to do ice baths after the end of a day's work. Or I suppose maybe there are some therapists who, can manage to do that. But most professional athletes are only professional athletes for, 5 years. So if that's your approach to massage, then think of yourself as a, professional massage athlete and expect your career expectancy to be the same, in that, maybe you'll last as long as a professional athlete does if your training is that similar to it. But sadly, very few massage therapists earn money like, most professional sports athletes do. So,
I really like that comparison, actually, that if you're going to be rough and tough in massage, then expect your career length to be about even with other rough and tough professions. That makes sense to me. Ken, if you could change one thing about massage therapy in general, is there anything you would change? Or many things. That's also okay. It's okay too. As you just left.
It's probably the biggest thing that I would change isn't necessarily about massage so much as the way that massage is viewed from the outside, and trying to find a way to bring it more in line with the positive healthcare aspects as opposed to, you know, the most of the time if you hear about massage in the news in some way, it's going to be in a negative context. And, you know, I find that can be kind of discouraging. So kind of changing the attitude of how we view it. You know, yes, massage can be a luxury, but it can also be a integral part of your healthcare and your physical well-being. Like other things in your life, massage is not necessarily something that you want to lowball. If the best, if the massages that you can afford are all through Groupon, then use Groupon massages. But just because you're using Groupon doesn't mean you can't be a little picky about the qualifications of your therapist. Don't be afraid to talk to your therapist. It is always your time. The client is investing their time, their money, and putting their body on, out there for the massage therapist to work with. So when there are things that need to be changed, talk to your therapist. If your therapist doesn't listen to you, then you probably don't want them as your therapist anymore. But just trying to raise the view of massage away from being, it's a luxury that, only rich people do, or it is, massage is just a front for the sex industry. Then we really need to separate that out and allow that to be its own industry and its own thing so that people aren't then using massage as a cover for it. Just because we are in close contact with a person does not make it, it is intimate in the way that we are contacting people. It is not sexual. Those are very different things, but we often have a hard time in separating those two things out. I think the thing I would change most is really kind of public view of massage and, where it falls in the healthcare system.
So if you were our new ambassador for the public view of massage, do you have a story or an experience that you would use to try and convince people that it's not what they thought it was?
That one's a little hard. It's difficult. I've had a few clients that I've worked with over the years who who've told me how much they feel that I've helped them. I had one client that I worked with probably close to every month or every other month while I worked at the medical spa, who credited me and massage and working with me with her not having to get the neck surgery that had been proposed to her as her primary option before she came and started seeing me. And so, you know, not saying that she might not have done equally well if she had had the surgical procedure, but just the fact that, you know, she saw massage as part of her ongoing physical health care that provided her relief and mobility and, you know, allowed her to avoid, you know, going under the knife, which, yeah, I was glad to be able to provide an option for her. Yeah, so at the very least, I think, you know, for years, I did no harm and helped her get through her daily, you know, her day-to-day life. Yeah, so that's a positive experience to try to, you know, to bring up. I'm not sure what other stories. I mean, I've seen a number of clients over the years, but I don't know, you know, whose stories I would be necessarily willing to pull out to say, hey, see, this is, you know, some of the good that massage can do. Yeah, then there are the times where, you know, it's not that massage did badly, but, you know, after, like, there was one client who, you know, who's stuck in my mind, who came in, who's very, very stiff, very, you know, in pain, came in for a sports massage, after I finished, you know, working with him for 90 minutes of sports massage, got up and said, great, now I can go play in the playoff game tomorrow. It's like, well, I'm glad that he felt better, but it also made me feel like, okay, that whatever good I did in that massage is not going to last very long for him, because he's going to go right back out there. And because he feels better now, he's going to push beyond what he probably should. But, you know, it was his choice to make, and I can't, you know, there's nothing else I could do other than say, yeah, good luck with the game. And then there, you know, there are other occasions that stick out. Since we were, the medical spa was associated with the medical practice, we occasionally tried to increase our clientele by offering free chair massage to people who had come in to the medical practice. I had a client who came in one day after his appointment over with the medical practice, who came in. I worked on him, and before I finished the 10-minute chair massage, he was being violently ill. It was only after we cleaned up and I talked to him that I found out that, oh, well, he had gone into the medical practice because he had the flu and had already been kind of feeling sick to his stomach. And it's like,
oh no,
I really kind of wish that, you know, maybe then we shouldn't have actually done a massage today, but he didn't tell me what was going on. So I, you know, I also view that as a little bit of, you know, well, I guess I didn't do quite enough intake to find out what was going on with him prior to getting him into the massage chair.
I think we've all had those clients where information that would have been good to know 10 minutes before being shared, you know.
Yes.
Well, that kind of brings me back to what you were talking about before, Ken, about so many things that we could unpack, but, you know, communication. And how we communicate with the clients and how they communicate with us and how we communicate with other providers. Do you feel like the massage school that you went to really prepared you for that aspect of your job? Because I can say, you know, I had a great teacher, but she was one out of a team and she was the only one that talked about communication.
Well, to a large extent, you know, the school that I went to, we had the design of their program was that we had all of our massage work, body work, physiology, anatomy, We had all of those, but then we had guest speakers who would come in on Friday nights and weekends to talk about their areas. So that's when we got, we called those exposure hours. So that's when, we had people coming in teaching Reiki or teaching Lomi Lomi or other massage modalities, but we also had some people who came in to talk about marketing or working in a hospital setting, things like that. So we had a little bit of exposure, but the structure of the school was not such to really set us up to work in a hospital or medical type environment. I've kind of stumbled into that a little bit in the working with the Life with Cancer programs, but even working with all of the Life with Cancer programs and being in the infusion suites, we're still, the work that I'm doing is really still adjunct to their medical treatments. I'm not directly a part of their medical treatment. I'm not part of, their medical team, because that level of, that level of education is beyond what I have sought out and what I have done. Could the school I went to have had more exposure and more work to try to get us better set to interact with the medical profession? Yes. But I don't, other than the programs that I know that Healwell runs, where some of the education programs that are hospital-based work, which I think, I have not taken the opportunity to pursue one of those programs, but my understanding is that those programs are a lot more in the hospital, in the medical facility program, that teach you how to work around and with, people in that setting. So I think that generally massage therapists, if massage is to be integrated better with the healthcare programs, then yes, massage training does need to up that in how to work with others in the medical profession. To some extent, our language or the precision of our language needs to change. Even so, the understanding of that the others in the medical profession have about massage and what massage can do or does do is also lacking, because everybody stays focused in their lane. And so we've gotten, when I was working at the spa, one of the things that we often wanted was, do you have your approval from your doctor? Sure, the doctor has now given you, permission and said, sure, they had a deep vein thrombosis, but that you can do deep tissue work on them, because the doctors don't really know how massage interacts with what they are actually doing. And so to some extent, it is on the massage therapist to understand what area you as a massage therapist want to work in, to educate yourself, to better integrate. When I was working, when I work in a spa, that's great work, very meaningful, but the notes that I'm taking, that I'm keeping, are going, for the most part, were more focused on what they were getting in the spa experience than necessarily if a medical professional then came back and looked at those notes at a later date because something happened. From a medical side, from a medical point of view, those notes are probably garbage at best. you know, they don't give them any real information. That's, you know, that's also a learning process. I suspect that a lot of the notes that I'm even taking, that I take now, while are using better verbiage and are more focused and I think are giving better information than I used to when I was working in the spa. If they, the people on the medical team were looking at them to try to get insight into what I was doing, it probably wouldn't help them at all still.
Well, I just want to follow up with a shameless plug for Healwell's adult stewardship coming up at MedStar Washington Hospital Center this October, from October 30th to November 4th. There you go.
Shameless.
Shameless.
Ken, I feel like we would be remiss not to address that you are a minority in the massage profession, as you use he, him pronouns.
Yes, this is true.
What kind of experiences has that led to?
I've had very few negative experiences for it. When I look back, I feel that I was extraordinarily lucky to get the job at the medical spa that I did. Because at the time when I was hired, the spa was still expanding, but I was actually the third male therapist to come onto staff at the time, which, you know, I recognize was highly unusual, since I think in my massage class, I think there were 4 male therapists in my class of 25 people. I look back and find myself very lucky that they were willing to take the risk of bringing on a third male therapist, since I have a fairly good luck, but I still do occasionally get people who don't want me to work on them because I'm male. When talking about it, sometimes the opinion that I get is, or the feeling I get is, when I'm dealing with people, and especially dealing with men, the feeling is that I have gotten from them is that, you know, if I'm working on his girlfriend, then he really would prefer that, you know, that I were gay. But if I was working on him, then he very much wants me to be heterosexual. And I think that says more about the insecurities of the client than it does about those men than it does about anything else. But I also recognize that there are extremely valid reasons for patients not to, you know, want to have a male therapist. You know, I don't know, unless they decide to share it with me, I don't know their history. I don't know what other problems they may have run into. So it can be a little limiting. Sometimes it seems a little, yeah. I find that I occasionally sit and try to keep from talking, because I do recognize that even though I may not have the most experience in such, there are occasions where if I was the only male in on a call or on something else, due to being a gray-bearded white male, that people would let me talk and dominate a discussion, even if I didn't actually have the most experience, just because I happen to fit those categories. So sometimes I am consciously holding back and to not engage, because I don't want to scare other people off of participating in conversations. I don't want, you know, I don't want to be somehow dominating the conversation in my inexperience just because other people are deferring to me when they really shouldn't be. So, you know, so I've found that sometimes it's feels like it's the prudent thing to do for me to just, you know, hold back unless there is something, a direct experience that I can add to a conversation. Yeah, I haven't yet, because I've only worked for a few companies, I haven't really felt like I've had any negative effects for not being able to find a position in the massage field. You know, I don't think that I've had, I have had people who are concerned that, you know, oh, well, he's male, he's going to do, you know, he may do something inappropriate. My general feeling on that is I really don't think I'm going to do anything inappropriate. I'm not going to expose you for 2 seconds and throw away a 15-year career for 2 seconds of looking at you. I you may be beautiful, but you are not that beautiful. I'm sorry. And
I'd like my career. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like I often find myself as not, you know, as being in a minority if I am going to classes or things, but I haven't had any real, I don't feel that I have had a negative experience in my massage career due to being male. I don't know if, I don't think that I've been passed up for anything since, you know, at the spa, I eventually moved up to leading the massage team, but that's probably just because, you know, I didn't keep my mouth shut. And so I ended up taking on more responsibility and helping to do things and organize things just because someone had to. And so, you know, in that, I guess I was being kind of a pushy person, but since most of the other massage therapists who had been with me for, you know, as long as I did, moved up into management positions, whereas I stayed with the massage team, I, you know, don't feel like I was, you know, being really, you know, I don't feel like I was really getting preferential treatment on taking over the leads for some of the positions.
Sounds like mostly you were the willing person as opposed to a pushy person.
Sure. The person who wasn't smart enough to say no.
That's the willing person. Yeah. I imagine everybody on this call has been that person.
It is interesting and fulfilling work. I do believe that it has helped a little bit with, my thinking forward and talking to people. Although I still am not, have never developed the skill to quickly interview people. So new clients often take, you know, a lot. I talk to them probably longer than is ideal given time frames available, but I still try to, get all of the needed information in order to work with them successfully and effectively and to address whatever concerns they happen to have.
Thank you so much, Ken, for being here and participating in this
little
exploration we're going on.
Hopefully you can edit things and, you know, make it sound like a nice, intelligent conversation.
That's all on Rebecca. I'm happy to report. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ken. Oh. And the brownies will be in the mail or the next time I see you.
I might have heard that before.
You might have. I mean, they do show up every now and then. You got to give me credit sometimes.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me share some time. And whatever nominal insight you feel I may have given out, or at least perhaps a slightly different viewpoint. So thank you for letting me share some story time.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Season 11 of Interdisciplinary. New episodes are available every Saturday on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can send us an email. Let us know what you think at podcast@healwell.org. We want to hear from you with your thoughts, your show ideas, pictures of your animals, whatever you'd like to send us. You can also support the show by leaving us a review. Wherever you listen to this podcast, your review with your words really helps us to get in front of more people and keep creating content for you. And you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/interdisciplinary. And when you support us on Patreon, you become a super secret squirrel and you get access to episodes of Interdisciplinary early and ad-free, along with super secret bonus material. That's patreon.com/interdisciplinary. If you want to learn with us in person, you can, or online, you can check out all of our classes at online.healwell.org. We have coming up oncology massage in Oak Park, Illinois, just outside Chicago, in August. In Fairfax, Virginia, in September. And we have our hospital massage therapy stewardship program, hospital-based massage, in Washington, D.C. in October. So check it out at online.healwell.org. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Interdisciplinary is produced by HealWell. Our theme music is by Harry Pickens. New episodes are available weekly through your favorite podcast outlet. And you can send us an email at podcast@healwell.org. That's podcast@healwell.org. Thanks for listening.